Let's get funky like a monkey, baby.
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoon.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
Woo!
You know, two dudes talking sports.
It doesn't matter what your names are.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
God created the heaven. He created the earth. He created
the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
That's right. We're coming to you live from the corner of 6th and Market, beautiful downtown Canton, Ohio. I don't care what the weather says. We're going to lighten up your day a little bit. 53 drizzly degrees outside. And Kenny, I got to tell you, yesterday, following the Cavs blowout loss from Tuesday night, it looked as though the Guardians are going to lose another one to Detroit. They come back in extra innings for a nice walk-off, but you had a walk-off of your own last night. What do they call it in hockey?
You know what? It's an overtime winner. That's all it is. Now, it wasn't the series clincher, right? So it was just game three of the series between the Belleville Senators and the Cleveland Monsters. And the last game went to one overtime. This one went to two overtimes. And the Monsters win it last night. Owen Sillinger with the game-winning goal yesterday for the Monsters. So they're up 2-1 in their best-of-five series against the Senators. And they can wrap it up Friday night at 7 o'clock at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. If they should lose, they have game five, a deciding game five Sunday at 3.
So I'm watching this thing on Bally's. I have no idea what's going on. I don't know who's who. I don't know who they're playing, but I'm just watching for you. And the first thing that went through my mind was this. Double overtime. Wait a minute. How much time's in between an overtime period?
20 minutes.
Thank you. So that game doesn't end until about 11:35. And I'm thinking to myself, what time's this kid getting home?
Yeah, and how about this? We didn't say this on the broadcast, but they had an issue with the Zamboni machine.
Of course.
Okay? After regulation, and we had a longer delay than normal because of the Zamboni machine. That thing took forever. And luckily, first 5 minutes of the second overtime, Owen scores the game winner. Because guess what? We were out of guests, man, right? We talked to the president of the Monsters. We talked to the VP of marketing. We talked with four different players, I think. We talked to the coach. So I was trying to come up with some things. I was going to, go into the locker room and grab what they were eating in between periods and show everybody what guys are chowing down on and everything when it goes that long.
I got to tell you, it was a nice crowd. I was watching this thing, and I'm thinking to myself, A, what time are you getting home, and B, are there really that many hockey fans in Cleveland? I told you before. I think we should have an NHL team up there, man. Let's go. You got the facility.
How about this? There were at least four members of the Blue Jackets front office in attendance last night. John Davidson, the president, was there. I talked with him. There were beat reporters from Columbus who came up for the game. So all eyes are on the Monsters as they're looking, to see which players stand out in these AHL playoffs to help the Blue Jackets next year, who finished fourth in the NFL draft lottery the other
NFL,
night.
They'd be better off getting
NHL
players.
Draft.
Maybe they had some NFL talent on that team. They'd win once in a while. With a minor league team that's shown so much success, and we know they won the Calder Cup, 2016?
Yep.
Why can't we win anything in Columbus?
Some of the guys that were on that team have gone on to have very good NHL careers. Zach Werenski is still with the Blue Jackets. Mm-hmm. He was a defenseman on that 16 Calder Cup team. Others have gone up to Columbus and then made their way. Oliver Bjorkstrand and others have made their way to other teams. But the drafting of the top picks, we rarely get a top pick with the Monsters, right? Like a top five pick, because those guys all play up at the NHL level right away. They just they made good decisions in free agency and the contracts that they've given out to put people around certain players.
Okay, we got
and,
Brian.
Of course, they let your favorite player go, right? Bobrovsky, he's with the Florida Panthers, who crushed the Bruins last night 6-1.
It's all right, we have Elvis in goal now, so we're going to win this game.
Do they play a 3-on-3 hockey in overtime in the AHL?
No, it goes 5-on-5, full 20 minutes. It's just like the NHL playoffs. You go until somebody scores. Penalties are called. So the Monsters killed off a huge penalty in the one overtime. In fact, the last two wins have both been overtime wins by the Monsters, and they've had to kill off a penalty in overtime in both games to get a win.
Brian made an interesting point yesterday. You ready for this?
What?
Guardians walk off the Tigers, right?
Yeah.
So in the bottom of the 10th, when the Guardians came up to bat, and they had a runner, I believe, on third base, the Tigers pulled their center fielder and made him play infield. So you can play with an extra infielder, but you can't shift anymore. That doesn't make sense to me.
What is that? What do they call the gray area, right? You can bring him in as long as you position him in the right spot, and they do that because if there's a hard-hit ground ball, you can still extra defender throw the guy out at the plate.
We used to play a game here in town called fumble ball, where you would play with a short center fielder, basically an extension of your infield, because the ball didn't travel that well. And it was interesting to me because if you pull your center fielder, I would imagine he has to play on one side or the other of second base. Or can he just play right over? I don't know.
I think right over second base. So you have your third baseman protecting the line, the shortstop in the hole. The center fielder comes in right over second base. Your second baseman plays in the hole at second, and then you guard the line at first base. And then you have your pitcher in the middle of all of that. So that gives you, what, one, two, three, four, five, six guys in the infield to try and knock down a ground ball.
And, of course, with the Monsters playing so well and the Guardians still in first place, that means we don't have to talk as much about the Cavaliers today because they've got Boston tonight, and I'm not looking for anything. Any word on Jared Allen?
I have not seen any new news on Jared Allen, and if any of it comes out, it won't be until, what, half hour before tip-off. Probably.
What about Ty Jerome? Do we get Ty Jerome tonight?
Ty Jerome, no. There's no
$2 million man. I'd love to have a contract like that. Not have to do anything and be out the entire season and pocket $2 million he's making.
Sam Amico is going to join us at
4:30
today.
Don't ask him. He's legit. I can't ask him about Ty Jerome.
Well, so, let's see. What is today? No, that's May 7th. So, yeah, no new news on Dean Wade, Ty Jerome, or Jared Allen, but maybe at 4:30, Sam can enlighten.
Someone tweeted out last night. Who did we read the tweet from last night, Brian? Fedor? Dean Wade's out, according to Fedor yesterday.
Oh, he's not coming back in this series at all?
He's out for tonight.
Okay. Oh, yeah, here it is. Dean Wade remains out for game two. You're right. I followed nothing. I was monsters locked in yesterday, so I did not see that.
That's the good news.
Jared Allen, according to Chris, listed as questionable.
That's the good news because when you think about this and you start looking at these contracts and you talk about the acquisitions that the Cavaliers made seemingly to make themselves better because we knew what they needed. They needed better perimeter shooting, needed to get a little bit tougher, and you signed George Niang and Max Strus. But they combined for 9 points Tuesday night, to whereas Derek White, a deal that the Boston Celtics made a couple of years ago for a bag of nuts, ends up with 25. And, of course, you start looking at teams like the New York Knicks, and you mentioned Josh Hart the other day. That dude extended his contract. Now he's making about $18 million. He's only making $3 million more than Max Strus. But the dude plays 48 minutes a night.
How about that, right? Hearing all this load management bull crap from all these superstar players and this guy's going out there and playing every single minute of the game. The only breaks he gets are when they call timeout. That's it.
First two games, he played the entire game, both nights.
Now, I did not know this, but driving home from Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse last night, I was listening to National Radio.
Hey, what time was it, by the way? What time were you coming home?
Midnight 1:30? Somewhere. I was leaving.
2 a.m.
You know, around midnight.
Last call.
Dude, we were saying it was.
Were you in your call at? Were you in your car at last call?
No, I was home before last call, I was home before. But one of the national shows said that the last time a player played back-to-back games of 48 minutes in the playoffs was Jimmy Butler. Well, guess who his coach was? Tom Thibodeau with the Bulls. So who's the coach for Josh Hart? Tom Thibodeau. So Tibbs is not afraid of playing his guys all 48 minutes if they can handle it. He's done it once before, and he's doing it with Josh Hart, and they needed it.
Your buddy calls yesterday. I had nothing for him.
Who's that?
Who do you think?
Oh, the Bostonian.
The Bostonian calls. Really? How are you supposed to argue with this guy? You get beat 120-95 in the opening game. You really had nothing to hang your hat on other than the fact that the Cavaliers went on a decent run in the first quarter, and then that's it. Yeah. And you have nothing to look forward to, and when you look at it, you're really outmanned in this situation.
Yes.
When you really look at the rosters, you might want to say that the Cavaliers should, on paper, have a better bench, but when they're coming at you with Luke Cement, What's this guy's name? Who is this? Luke, I'm your father. He owns a paint. So if you don't have Jared Allen, your goose is cooked in this series.
Unfortunately, I tend to agree with
you. Who
is
this Luke guy?
He's a backup center who knows his role and does his job with the Boston Celtics. I mean, so does Pritchard. Pritchard comes off the bench. Yeah. He's that pain-in-the-ass type player, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he does his job. Derek White, okay, now with Porzingis out, and he's got to score more, so he does. When Porzingis comes back, he may not not have to score as much, so he's fine doing that. Mm-hmm. The two-headed monster is Tatum and Brown, right? They're going to go as far as those two take them, really. When push
not
comes
against
to
the Cavaliers.
Shelf,
maybe against better teams, not against Cavaliers.
Okay.
Because they didn't need Tatum on Tuesday.
Yeah, and he still had, what, 18 and 11,
something like
which
that.
Is an off night mm-hmm. for him, right? That's an off night.
Right.
18 points and 11 rebounds is an off night for him, and it cost me a parlay. But because I had him at 20 or more. Yeah, of course he did.
Bet on the Celtics, bet on the Celtics tonight. Maybe you black cat them for a change.
I hit everything else on a five-leg parlay, including, who was it, Garland to score over 9.5 points, Donovan to score over 24.5. All I needed was Tatum, and I'm thinking this is a no-brainer, to get over 20.5 points, and he goes for 18. I lost by a bucket. Thanks so much.
I said this yesterday, and I want to get your take on this, because if you watch the game on television, and when they had Coach Bickerstaff mic'd up, he was telling them exactly what he wanted them to do, but we couldn't get the job done. So in my opinion, and I looked at that first game loss, and as I just stated, we can't man up against this team. To me, it's not a matter of coaching. There's some coaching issues. Don't get me wrong. I'm not letting him get a free pass. But what he's telling you, and he said it time and time and time again, we have to guard the three-point line. We can't give up easy shots, and we can't put them on the foul line. And seemingly, that's all the Cavaliers did defensively. So if you can't jump out and guard Derek White, and he goes for 25, and he's hitting threes like they're layups, then to me, this is a problem with Kobe Altman and trying to reconstruct this team. Now, the good news is this, and I'm not saying the season is already over, and it sure would be nice to maybe steal tonight. The good news for the Cavaliers is that Donovan Mitchell has proven that he's still got something. Whether or not he's banged up or not, his value's through the roof. So if you don't plan on extending him or he doesn't accept the extension, you got some bargaining power there.
Good point, right? He's raised
his
value.
That's the good. Can you find anything else good about this team right now? They're still playing. That's a good thing.
And that's it. I mean, Darius Garland regressed. I got in a Twitter war with some people about Evan Mobley. Oh, what do you mean he was a no-show? He had 17 points and 13 rebounds. And I said, exactly. Go back and look when he scored 10 of those 17 points in garbage time when they're down 28 points or whatever it was, right? So he had 7 points at the end of three quarters. That was it.
Do you realize, you know, everybody wants to talk about Boston, how good they are offensively. Do you realize they were ranked defensively higher than Orlando? And all they kept saying was Orlando is a better defensive team than Cavaliers. Well, I got news for you. If Boston is better than Orlando and you had a hard time getting to 100 points against Orlando, what do you expect to do against the first team and maybe even into the second team? We want to think that the Cavaliers might be deeper. Maybe they're not. If that team's that good defensively, where do the points come from? The Cavaliers can't create. Other than Donovan, no one can create their own shot.
Yeah, it's they're going to have to make a boatload of threes to have a chance to win one game in this series. Unfortunately, I hate to say it that way, but that's just the truth, right? Well, we've got game two tonight. It's 7 o'clock here on HBC. Game three is nationally televised on ABC Saturday night at 8:30, and then we're going down to do our show, pregame show, basically, for game four, 7 o'clock on Monday at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
Well, you look at the Cavaliers, and you want to make a boatload of threes. Problem's going to be this. You really can't rely on Sam Merrill. And the reason's simple. If he's on the floor, they're going to blitz him because the only thing he can do is shoot threes. If he has to make a pump fake and drive, it's either blocked or he turns it over. So forget about Merrill tonight. Isaac Okoro, we've seen it time and time and time again, where you don't guard him on the corner three and he clanks it. Is he going to make a couple? Yes. Can he consistently make them throughout the course of four quarters? No, I've never seen it. So the only chances you have of making a bunch of threes are realistically Donovan, Darius, Max Strus. And Max Strus is inconsistent. And so is Darius Garland. So unless one of those guys gets hot and can remain hot for four quarters, I don't see it happening.
I hope they win one game so they don't get swept. You know, just to add another victory so you know what it's like to win a game in the second round for these young guys that they end up keeping, right? But it would not surprise. Here's what it comes down to, in my opinion. Two things. Can Boston stay mentally focused for four and not, you know, give an inch, right? If they blow out the Cavs by 30 tonight after a 25-point blowout, their mindset tends to drift a little bit. Like, we've got this series wrapped up. They sleep for a game. Cavs hit a bunch of threes, and they have to win it in five. If Boston stays mentally focused, they could sweep the Cavaliers and win every game by double digits.
It's a pretty big if, especially knowing that they got knocked out of the playoffs last year, and they seemingly are more focused than the Cavaliers. Cavaliers, all season long, focus back on that gentleman's sweep against the Knicks, getting knocked out of the first round, where everybody had them favored to win that first round. Knicks got better. Celtics got better. Cavaliers seemingly plateaued, even though they won their first round matchup against Orlando. Right or wrong?
You're right. Well, hell, Bob, you're right. Yeah. I mean, this team, it's going to be a very interesting off season because they did take a step further than they were last year, but is it good enough for Dan Gilbert to say, okay, let's continue with everybody here and re-sign Donovan Mitchell and continue to roll the basketballs out with J.B. Bickerstaff as the head coach?
You look at these young upcoming teams, maybe include Orlando, even though I think they're offensively challenged, but look at a team like OKC. Look at some of these younger teams. Look at San Antonio, and all of a sudden everybody wants to play with Wembanyama. Oh. It's going to be a playoff team or at least a play-in team next season. But you look at the Cavaliers, you know what I see, and I hope I'm wrong.
What?
The Atlanta Hawks. Weren't they in the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of years ago?
Yeah, they were.
Okay. Right or wrong?
And they have one superstar, right, in Trey Young. And he hasn't been able to live up to, you know, that season. Maybe it was just a fluke. Obviously, it looks like it. That's why, as the owner, you've got to do a deep dive into this team and say, okay, we can keep this together and probably get back to the same spot next year. Is that good enough? No, it's not for me.
You want another comparison with the exception of the Knicks, who their obvious best player is Jalen Brunson, who's a guard? The comparison to the Cavaliers and the Hawks is this. Trae Young is their best player. What positions he play?
Yeah, point guard.
Okay. Donovan Mitchell's our best player. What positions he play?
Well,
can you get that far when your best player is a guard? That's my only concern. Now, again, the Knicks are getting it done, but again, they've got more players around him.
They haven't won a championship, and the last team to win a championship with the guard is one of the greatest shooters, if not the greatest shooter of all time, Steph Curry. And Jalen Brunson isn't that. Donovan Mitchell isn't that, right? It took a special player, someone to change the game with the way he shoots and plays Steph Curry. Now, they had nice pieces, parts around him. Don't get me wrong. Klay Thompson can shoot it from the parking lot. Draymond does the dirty work. They had Andre Iguodala as a great role player. They went out and got KD for a couple of years to beat the Cavs. But it was and still is Steph's team. I don't think Jalen's as good as Steph, but he's better than Donovan Mitchell. If I had my choice between the two right now, I would take Jalen Brunson over Donovan Mitchell. That's just me. All right, I like his toughness, and I like the fact, JT, that he won something before. And I know it was only college, right? But still, he won something, and that means something. I was talking with one of the front office guys for the Columbus Blue Jackets last night. And the reason they're all there is they want to, even though it's the minor leagues, right? It's still professional hockey. It's the AHL. They want to see how some of their prospects handle the pressure of the playoffs. Right. And I'll give you an example. Trey Fix-Wolanski is one of the leading scorers, all-time leading scorer for the Monsters, right? He's been up and down between the NHL and the AHL. He hasn't scored as of late, but dude, last night was knocking people over with his physicality and sending a message to the opposition, the Senators, that, okay, yeah, I may not be putting the puck in the net, but I can do more than that. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you all those front office execs from the Blue Jackets, they saw that last night. Mm-hmm. And that he's going to get an A grade for effort and handling the pressure of the playoffs.
Right.
And that's why Jalen Brunson, having won something before, even though it was in college, he just seems to thrive in those pressure situations at the next level.
I think it matters. I think when you look at that team and you've got three guys that played together in college and won a championship, and DiVincenzo, Hart, and Jalen Brunson, I think it matters. And I think it shows that when you've got that consistency and you know what to expect from your teammate, it really comes through. Now, we've seen that fail at times in the pros. I mean, yeah. Joe Burrow and Lamar Chase. Is it Lamar Chase? Lamar Chase, the wide receiver? Is it? What's
Jamar.
Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase, yeah.
Okay, they haven't won anything yet. But right. Again, they play well together. Davante Adams and the quarterback they had at the Raiders, that didn't work out because when Davante Adams came over from Green Bay, maybe it's because it's a different sport. I don't know. But you made a comment the other night about the fact that these three guys playing together, and I go back to Josh Hart. When they made the deal for Josh Hart, there was rumblings that the Cavaliers might try to bring him in. Well, yep. They either couldn't get it done or didn't get it done, and maybe they didn't expect him to play as well as he is now. I think he had 19 last night, and he had 25 maybe in game one. Sure would look good right now with a Josh Hart on this team because maybe because you're not getting the same amount out of Max Strus, and that's unfortunate.
I didn't like Max Strus, and I think it was Sam or Chris Fedor who told us he had talked to somebody in Miami, and he said, you're not going to like the inconsistency of Max Strus. He's either all or nothing, right? And we see, I mean, unless he's kind of like Isaac Okoro almost. Unless he's wide open, in my opinion, from what I've seen with the Cavs, mm-hmm. he doesn't make the shot. He can't create his right. own. He's got to be, wide open off of screens or something in order mm-hmm. to get his shot up or in a fast break situation.
See, and again, that's Josh Hart before he comes to the Knicks and then teams up with former teammates that he had in college, and now all of a sudden he doesn't come off the floor. I can't describe it any other way than that because had Josh Hart been with the Cavaliers, he might not perform as well as he does in New York. I don't know. I don't get it.
Hey man, there's something about those three being together
yeah.
and knowing each other like the back of their hand and playing like they were in college in those pressure situations. And
Tom Thibodeau.
Jay Wright was a hell of a coach. You talk about learning in yeah. college under one of the best. So they got great coaching in college, which has transferred over, and now they're getting that hard-nosed, in-your-face coaching from mm-hmm. Tom Thibodeau. And it's creating, craziness in New York, okay. Madison Square Garden. And they think that if they stay healthy here, I guess Brunson hurt his foot last night. They think they're going to play the Celtics in the Eastern Conference
Finals. He came back and he played well. Tom Thibodeau, let's remember, I think he got let go in Chicago. I don't think he just retired, right?
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, it works. And maybe because it's a sum of all parts, you have a better team. We looked at the Cavaliers all season long. The main concern was the fact that they started to really play a little bit differently right before the All-Star break. I'm not going to say they limped into the tournament. But a lot of people think that they may have tanked a couple of games down the stretch so they could have the matchup that they wanted, which would have been Orlando, which ended up being Orlando. Because let's face it, Kenny, if the Cavaliers would have opened up with Philly, would have opened up with New York, would have opened up with Milwaukee, they may not be playing tonight.
I agree with that 100%. Yep. So that give the team credit knowing what was the best matchup for them to get through the first round of the playoffs, which they desperately needed. And
right.
they barely got through, but they did.
So in their mind, they're going to tell you that they're on the right path. And they got better yeah. because they won an opening round playoff. But I don't think they expected it to go seven games. It's a tough one to call.
Yeah, it is. All right, we'll get into that more and who the MVP of the NBA is. We'll tell you about that. Guardians, a walk-off winner. They remain in first place and a chance to get fat against the White Sox in the next four games. We'll dive into that and some Browns news to tell you about as well. Stay with us on the Kenny and JT Show.
It's Kenny and JT on WHBC.